This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This podcast may contain coarse language. Listener's discretion is advised. Also, this podcast will obviously contain spoilers for Demon Slayer. Please beware, listen at your own risk.
Welcome to the Demon Slayer podcast. I am your host, VLOR GTZ, and with me today, I have Laser Kid.
Hello!
And today, we are finally back at it again for a new season of Demon Slayer. Let's go.
I'm actually really excited that we're back this quickly.
Yeah, and it's like for your favorite arc too, so...
It is my favorite arc, so I'm very happy. And so far, so good.
Indeed, yeah. So the new season of Demon Slayer Swordsmith Village arc has begun. And we started with the first episode, which is a double-length episode, that just means double the Demon Slayer in 1 week, double the goodness, double the excitement.
Yeah, just like Entertainment District, and just as fun.
Yeah. So, Laser, since you didn't see the theatrical like version of this episode, what are kind of your first thoughts on it? How did you feel going in?
I've read the manga, so I had some idea what to expect, but I really liked, as normal, UFO table just kicking butt, making it cool. Nothing amazing or flashy, but, you know, it's a pretty basic episode, so I'm not terribly surprised about that. But it was, you know, good to be back. Good to see some fun moments. Always fun to see Muzan freaking out and abusing his subordinates.
Oh man, yeah, he has no chill, especially now.
Especially now. It almost makes me want to go, dude, Muzan, buddy. You know, if you treat your subordinates well, they're more likely to do what you want, whereas when you abuse them, they're less likely to get the results you want. You know, just a thought for the supervillain rules, you know. Treat your employees well, not badly, but, you know, it's Muzan. If he wasn't abusing his employees, he wouldn't be Muzan anymore.
Yeah, and it's just his motto and way of life. He'll just go find new subordinates if they don't satisfy him.
Yeah, he certainly threatened to do that. And then there's my favorite moment in the entire episode. Inosuke is a honey badger.
Which resolves all the scientific mysteries of Demon Slayer. Inosuke being a honey badger.
Inosuke's a honey badger. He don't give a shit.
Yeah, just the ultimate poison immunity.
Indeed.
Yeah, I think like what was very surprising about this episode for me was how hard they went with the Upper Moon meeting. Just with that entire sequence with Akaza, like, going up to the meeting room.
Oh, yes. They definitely hit heavy with that.
Yeah, and I guess, like, seeing all the remaining Upper Moons kind of in the same area was, like, really cool. Like, the confrontation between, like, Doma and Akaza especially... was very intense.
You know, I hate Akaza for what he did to our boy, but I gotta say, in this particular arena, I'm kind of rooting for him because he, out of everyone there, he's least bad.
He kinda is, which is, like, weird to think about.
It really is, but, like, out of everyone there, he's the one that's just like, you know, just do your damn job. Leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah. No, and I think that scene gives a very, like, good impression of Doma, Especially because, even though we haven't seen him do much yet, you kind of know he's like, up to no good. He's got some nasty stuff going on.
Dude's a little touched in the head. I mean, I know more than what I can say, but even from just watching this episode, dude's like, hey, let's be buddies. It's like, you're up to something.
Yeah, and his head getting smashed by Akaza, that was so good.
Oh, yes. I did like that. Like, Akaza, why don't you just, stop being a complete asshole and just join the Demon Slayers? You'd be awesome. You could be. But no. Still a bad guy.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
And of course we have Kokushibo there as well, which, I mean, man, like... Now knowing where his, character arc goes, it's like, wow, like, he's, like, very menacing here.
Yes, he is. Do not mess with number one.
Yeah. And I kind of like, after they have all this, kind of establishment of the remaining Kizukis, they kind of also show that flashback, too, back to kind of the past with, what, as far as the viewers know, seem to be some legacy memories of Tanjiro with, a mysterious swordsman that we know as Yorichi.
Yes, I was actually a little surprised to see that here. I know it's in the arc, but I didn't remember it being this early.
Yeah, so it is this early in the manga, too, but I guess, it doesn't become as relevant until later in the arc.
Yeah, I'd totally forgotten it was this early, because I read this a while ago.
Yeah, it's weird to think that the manga's been over for quite a long time now, and yet only now are we getting to Swordsmith.
That's funny, because they filled the gap in the middle of Swordsmith, so I read the Swordsmith as it was coming out, and then suddenly, oh, there's all Swordsmith and the entire rest of the manga. All right, let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of nice to be in this position, though, with the anime, because we definitely get, a far greater hindsight with it, now that we have the story completely finished.
Yes, well, and it also means that anything they add is going to benefit the story. They're not padding.
Yeah, I agree, and I think one thing this episode did very well at is kind of, even though it's very faithful to the manga, the additions that they do have, I feel, do give a bit more breathing room to the material that wasn't in the manga, adding kind of more of transitional animation and kind of showing what, Inosuke and Zenitsu are doing briefly.
Zenitsu's been remembered. He's so happy.
Just on, a snowy mountaintop.
Yeah, this has been the standard for this anime from day one. Anything that it's added has been to the benefit, and I love that. I love that about this adaptation. This is the gold standard for a manga adaptation, in my opinion.
Yeah, I see, the biggest complaint being that, Demon Slayer can feel a bit slow at times, and sometimes it is, but I think that it's very particular with its pacing in a way that I don't see a lot of other similar Shonen Jump adaptations doing. I enjoy, My Hero, for instance, but I feel the My Hero anime doesn't really do enough to enhance the experience of watching My Hero to the point that sometimes I feel like it's just better for me to read the manga over watching the anime, especially for certain story arcs where I feel the animation kind of just becomes very disappointing or lackluster.
Yeah, I really do like the Hero anime, and I don't think it's worse than the manga, but it's also not different from the manga. It's very much one-to-one. It's not really taking advantage of the animation medium very well.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think, there's a very also great mix of digital effects that are kind of implemented into Demon Slayer in a way that, you don't really see done nearly as well in other anime. Even in that scene with all the Kizuki, there's a ton of CG there, but, it's done in a way where, like, you really kind of aren't bothered by it. It's well implemented, and it kind of gives a sense of abnormality but scale to the situation.
It's complementary to the animation, so it doesn't... where it does contrast is in a way where it's supposed to, like, you know, the otherworldliness of that castle. But otherwise, it's used in a way where it feels right. It doesn't distract, it doesn't overwhelm. It merges with the animation so seamlessly that half the time I can't tell. This is just UFO Table being god tier at this.
Yeah, I can't imagine how crazy some of the fights are going to be later in this arc, especially after what we saw with Entertainment District near the end.
Yeah, no, it's Entertainment District's fights at the end. Woo!
Yeah.
Man, that's some good stuff. And I'm definitely excited to see how that transitions over to here, because, spoilers, we have some very similarly high-octane fights. I know Demon Slayer having high-octane fights, that would never happen!
Yeah, I mean, they kind of give a hint here that, like, Gyoko and Hatengu are going to be kind of the focal Kizuki of this season, because they're being sent out to a certain location.
Yeah, I wonder what certain location that would be.
Yeah, I wonder what.
I wonder where they could possibly be going. Could it be a place where they make swords? Do you know where swordsmiths hang out?
I don't know. I just don't know. But let's talk about the Swordsmith Village, because that's another area that I think the anime has very much enhanced in a meaningful way.
The fact that we actually took time to take a breath in there and just look at everything.
Yes, exactly. Like, not even once we get there, but the journey there, seeing that little, like, animation of all the
handoffs.
Yeah, the handoffs. Like, it was, like, so well done. And then once we get there, there's still so much of life to the village. You actually see them making the swords.
Yeah, Tondra's walking around, you know, he's going where he's supposed to go. It's not like they changed the plot, but it's almost like we went from a Nintendo 64 game with very minimal NPCs in the background to a modern game where there's NPCs walking all over the place.
Yeah, it just gives it, like, so much more life, and, like...
Absolutely.
The other little things I like, too, is, like, the animation of all the Kakushi. Like, that one female Kakushi that's, like, freaking out over Tanjiro.
Yes. I think we get a better idea of how the Kakushi are in this episode more than we have in the past. Just, you know, they're dealing with all the stuff that's happening on a very normal person level.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I mean, shout out to Goto, the goddess of Kakushi.
Oh, seeing Goto again was just fun.
Yeah, him, like, yelling over the entire banner when Tanjiro wakes up was,
Hey, you're supposed to tell people Tanjiro's awake, everybody! You know what? He is the goat for that, because he's right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, it's those little things. It's the personality, the voice acting, the idle animations to the characters. It's like... It all brings a lot more life into this world that was already very lively in the manga, but it's enhancing it.
Yeah, no, I made a video game comparison, but it's not to say that the manga didn't feel alive. It did. But they enhanced that to such a degree that it felt like, wow, it's even more alive now.
Yeah, no, I think the video game comparison is a very apt one. Yeah, and I think, like... The one thing I wasn't very happy about with this episode is I felt like they added a bit more fan service for Kanroji, which I'm not sure how I feel about.
A little bit more, but I distinctly remember them the manga having plenty of it with her, so I'm not too terribly surprised. But a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously there was the hot spring scene in the manga, but I guess, like, I don't know, it kind of felt like they were putting a more of a male gaze on, like, the scenes with Kanroji.
Well, they definitely made a bigger focus on, hey, don't let your boobs fall out.
Yeah, yeah. It's stuff like that. Where, I mean, like, it doesn't ruin the episode for me, but it's also like, I don't think of Demon Slayer as, like, having a lot of sexual content, so it's, like, it's weird Tamagotchi to see.
Tamagotchi is pretty much the only character that I could think of that does, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's a minor complaint, though, in the grand scheme.
No, I understand, though. I see what you're saying.
I guess, in terms of other things from this episode, we obviously got the return of Genya, everyone's favorite yes. boy that brings a gun to a sword fight.
Yeah, you know, hey, want to be friends? Hey, is that your brother drowning you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. I forgot that they brought up the relationship between Sanami and Genya this early on.
That I remembered, and I did remember the reaction of him being like, shut up.
But yeah, I mean, like, I'm definitely curious to see how they are going to adapt some of the later portions of this arc, just because there's another focal character that we haven't really gotten a ton of screen time with yet.
Yeah, yeah, we did get a little bit.
Yeah, we got a small taste.
Yeah, yeah, no, that there are not one, but two Hashira!
Yeah, I mean, we only had one last season, so we have to double the fun now.
Only had one on Mugen Train, one on Entertainment, and we have two in Swordsmith.
Yeah, they're like, okay, you were tired of one Hashira? Here's two Hashira.
Double your pleasure, double your fun, double Hashira gum.
Yeah, where's our Hashira gum?
Hashira gum, it will be on sale soon. They'll rip off the idea and actually sell it, with my luck.
I mean, at certain Asian grocery stores I've been to, they have, like, Hashira-themed snacks.
Oh my god. I was kidding, world! I was kidding!
I forget what, I forget what Tokito's was. I think it was, like, cookies? They're pretty good.
Mmm. Seems appropriate.
Yeah, I'll have to find the full list later. We gotta do a Demon Slayer snack taste test. Oh.
I know who we need to get involved with that one.
J-Mac?
Well, I mean, sure, but my buddy Wildfire does Japanese snack reviews on his YouTube channel.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's a thing he does.
Well, yeah, we'll have to have them on for a Demon Slayer snack taste test.
Indeed.
But yeah, I mean, do you have any other string thoughts about this episode, Laser?
I think we more or less covered the big things that stuck in my mind. It is very interesting to see the, just in a plot level, which, you know, not new to me, but it's always interesting to see. The swordsmiths are like, yeah, no, it's not your fault the sword broke. Haganesco's just not making you good swords. It's like, wow, the attitude is, like, completely opposite of what you'd expect given Haganesco.
And they're, like, gonna, like, force him to make the sword or else.
I know, like, it's just like, wow.
They're treating him like a criminal.
I love Tasha's like, no, don't. It's not that bad. Just get me a sword. Poor Tanjiro. He just wants everyone to get along because he's a good boy.
Yeah. He's, like, eating the elder snacks, like, so energetically.
Yeah, no, Tanjiro being a good boy is all over this episode. But yeah, I mean, fun episode, good stuff all around.
Indeed, and I'm looking forward to watching more of this season.
I'm looking forward to more. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this gets dubbed.
Yeah, nah, I'm really excited to see the dub as well. It looks like this season is going to be 11 episodes based off of how many DVDs and Blu-rays are coming out for it. So I guess we got 10 more episodes of Demon Slayer goodness to go.
Given that this is a double length, that means, you know, a total of about 12 normal episodes. That's about normal.
Yeah, no, that's a good amount. I think to adapt a swordsmith, that is more than enough.
I agree.
But yeah, I guess if have covered all our bases with the episode, we might as well get out of here. So, Laser, where can people find you?
Well, people can find me on Twitter at LaserKidPrime, and you can find me, as well as VLord, on the Toonami Faithful podcast.
Awesome. As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at VLORGTZ, and I write various things for MangaMavericks.com as well as TommyFaithful.com when I have time. And then we do a bunch of podcasts besides the Demon Slayer podcast, which we have dubbed the VLORD Podcast Universe.
I have memed it into existence somehow.
Yes, you have. You have only yourself to blame.
I absolutely only have myself to blame.
But the VLORD Podcast Universe includes the Dumb Weebs podcast, Saturday Night Shaggy, and Oversoul Shaman King podcast. So you can check out all of those at Dumb Weebs Pod, at Sat Night Shaggy, and at Shaman King Pod on Twitter, respectively. And yeah, just go check out all our content. As far as the Demon Slayer podcast is concerned, you can find that on Twitter at DSlayer Podcast, and on Facebook at facebook.com/Demon Slayer Podcast, as well as the Tsunami Faithful website itself at TsunamiFaithful.com/Demon Slayer Podcast. And the podcast is on basically every podcast platform at this point. Spotify, Podbay, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we're there. So go look us up, rate and review us, and just enjoy the episodes. And if you want to give us some extra love, we are now on Patreon.
Yes! Shock! We're on Patreon?
Yes, we are. Our Patreon is patreon.com/Demon Slayer Podcast Universe. And there you can get a bunch of benefits if you become a patron, including access to our upcoming release schedule, early access to upcoming episodes, and exclusive bonus podcasts that will come out once a month as well. And also outtakes and other stuff, patron shoutouts, you name it. So go check it out. But yeah, that does it for this episode. So we will see you guys later.